97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, sportsmanship in athletics. Our guest, John Sweeney, who teaches sports ethics here at Carolina. John, the big topic of conversation these days is the Red Sox stealing signs against the Yankees and other teams, to which the Red Sox have said, yes, we did steal signs. What's different about them stealing signs in the way they did it?
Well, it's technology. They've used an Apple Watch in a way that I'm not quite sure about. It's definitely a national scandal. After all, they were on Jimmy Kimmel. He was doing his version of them stealing, which was quite funny. But they found a new technological way to do it. And so far, the commissioner hasn't been that tough on it.
Not tough at all. In fact, he's basically said, and others have said, Pedroia, for example, this is ingrained in baseball. This is part of baseball, stealing signs. Everybody does it. We did it in high school. It's how they did it that's causing the problem, yes?
Well, the commissioner has said, we're investigating it, and while we're investigating it, I don't have much to say about it. I mean, in the past, this kind of thing in other leagues led to genuine fines. I mean, when the NFL did spying, it was Bill Belichick was fined $500,000. They had all kinds of things. The Patriots fined $250,000. They had potential draft picks. I mean, how the commissioner ultimately deals with this will have a huge impact.
The commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, so far has called it a competitive activity and refused to discuss punishments. Competitive activity. Okay, let's go with that. Let me use football as an analogy because I know that sport and the rules of that sport pretty well. You can study film and see what tendencies a team has when they're in this formation and number 89 is in the slot position. They're going to run this play. That's perfectly fine. What you can't use is film or photos or any electronic devices during that particular game to see what are their tendencies in this game. By the same token, going down the Red Sox line here, you can't use a parabolic mic and pick up the play calls in the huddle. And that's essentially what the Red Sox did and have admitted to doing. They picked up what the pitch was going to be and where it was going to be. An outside corner slider is what's coming. If as a hitter I know that, I have an advantage.
Sure, but it will all depend on the commissioner's ultimate reaction as to whether he is saying, this is part of baseball and we're not going to regulate it. We are not going to do much with it. The Red Sox have countered that the Yankees are using their yes stream from their television contract to grab signals, and it's all going to get blurred together. The thing that's going to cut through it is regulation from the commissioner and the commissioner's office. And if they decide to be lenient, it's going to open a whole technological Pandora's box.
Yeah. Because what the rule as it states now is you can't have electronics for use in game situations in the dugout. Well, an Apple Watch is electronic. A cell phone, which reporters have said was also part of the relaying the information, that's electronics. So, but here's my question. Why so much emphasis on electronics? Isn't it okay to steal signs? As long as you don't do it electronically, is what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can figure out an advantage that's not technological, all power to you. And if they don't come down on electronics, then it's going to be a bit like NASCAR, which is everybody knows everybody cheats. And that's part of the culture. Everybody's trying to get an advantage somehow. And I think the commissioner has got to come down hard, or else this thing, particularly with our ability as a society to come up with strange gadgets to do strange things, it's going to be an open season.
Well, based on the reporting so far, other teams are really interested in what happens with the Red Sox here. Mm-hmm. Are they interested because they're afraid they're going to get caught as well? Or are they interested because the Red Sox are an anomaly and they're way out there in terms of what they're willing to do to gain this advantage? We don't know what these teams are thinking, but there seems to be a real push by other American League teams for the commissioner to come down hard on the Red Sox.
Well, sure, because if they don't, then everybody is going to have to basically become sophisticated at getting whatever advantage you can through electronics. It's going to add that as a dimension to the game. If one team, even if it's a rogue agent, is allowed to operate in a certain way, the others, because it's, in the commissioner's word, competitive, they're going to match.
You want to try to get a competitive advantage. The question is, the overarching question is, where do you draw the line?
The commissioner draws the line.
And
that's how it works.
And the line has been drawn, at least on paper, at electronics, use of electronics. Mm-hmm. But are you saying it depends on how he interprets that or the degree to which he chooses to enforce it?
The degree to which he chooses to enforce it is going to be what each team responds to. And it's really that simple. I mean, there was a point when NCAA regulations didn't allow coaches contact, and they specified certain things, but they hadn't caught up with social media. So for a while, coaches could do social media legally. Now they've caught up with it. So what you got to do is the commissioner has to basically put the standard together that all the teams will follow. And certain rogue elements will test the edges. But if they're not disciplined, that'll be the new standard.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about sports ethics with John Sweeney, and specifically the Red Sox stealing signs from the catcher signs during a game with the Yankees and against other teams. John, I wanted to mention one other specific team that really is kind of miffed at the Red Sox, and it's the Indians. The Indians were leading the Red Sox. Indians have a terrific bullpen. Yet the Red Sox touch up the bullpen for 7 or 8 runs. That bullpen includes Andrew Miller, UNC, former UNC pitcher. They're saying that the reason the Red Sox were able to score so much was because they knew each pitch that was coming. And that's why the Indians and the Yankees are saying they got a definite competitive advantage by using the technology in this way.
When the commissioner comes down with a decision, will it be a hard line on the subject or will it be a soft line? Let me give you an example. When the United States Anti-Doping Agency got a designer drug that couldn't be tested up to that point, but then a coach sent them an example of it and they developed a test for it, one organization said, oh, we now know this drug, and going forward, we'll be testing for it. Another said, we are going to go back 8 years and check all the samples, and any of them that show this drug, we're going to disqualify you. That's a difference between soft line and hard line. So if they come back and they say, we are not only going to ban the Red Sox from using these devices, we are going to strip them of 10 wins. That's a whole different thing than, oh, no electronics, and now that includes an Apple Watch.
Yeah, so the next special piece of technology that comes out, then you have to put that into the
mix. That's right.
And it's not into the mix until somebody has used it
and got caught. And then they'll get a slap on the wrist. And so everybody will start to experiment. It'll be part of the culture. And that's being permitted by the commissioner. If the commissioner is truly offended and truly wants to stop it, then take some games away, put out a long list, show that they've hired three new people who do nothing but investigate this. Hard line or soft line, and you'll read, all the teams will read that and really behave accordingly.
So I wanted to ask you to kind of sort of compare this to some other sports scandals. Way back in the day, you have the Black Sox, and they were throwing games. Pete Rose bet on baseball. Deflategate with Tom Brady. Lance Armstrong taking performance-enhancing drugs, though claiming for years and years that he was not. Where does this fit into that mix, the Red Sox stealing signs?
To me, it's way below the threshold of a Lance Armstrong, who was not only cheating, but had a had a bunch of lawyers who, if you accused him of cheating, would come after you. I mean, he was not only cheating, he was enforcing that. And that was a particularly serious and flagrant kind of thing. Deflategate was fascinatingly crazy. And that simply because I didn't know inflated balls made any difference. And they won anyway, even with a properly inflated ball. So it was very complicated. On the other hand, the league took draft picks away and all sorts of other things for it. A four-game ban that didn't ultimately hold against Tom Brady. So basically, I think this is, excuse the phrase, an inside baseball scandal. I don't think it's as great as some of the others. I put it with Deflategate.
Well, in the New York media, you would think it was the apocalypse.
Well, it's the New York Yankees market.
Yeah.
They're the victim. I love to say the Yankees are the victim. When was the last time the Yankees were the victim of anything? They have more money than anybody, more power than anybody, but they were the victim. So, of course, the newspapers are for them. Check the Boston Globe. I bet it's more relaxed.
So, you teach sports ethics. The law tells us what we can do, i.e. the rules of Major League Baseball tell us what we can do. Ethics tells us what we should do. What should the Red Sox do in this case?
The Red Sox should stop using an Apple Watch. They got caught. So that's one. And they should await the findings of the commissioner. It depends on what some of the comments have been. We've been stealing signs since junior high school. If it's part of the culture, it's just like a NASCAR team. Yeah, they're going to try to sneak something in. It's part of the culture. And versus golf, where you're supposed to call a penalty on yourself. If it's part of the culture of the sport, it's a so what. But they still have to regulate it. If it's just something unheard of that changes the sport, that soils and taints the sport, then you bet you have to shut it down. Depends on what the culture of it is.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our chat with John Sweeney about ethics in sports and the Boston Red Sox stealing signs from, as John put it, the victims, New York Yankees, and the reaction to the Yankees being victimized in this way. John, you've talked a couple of times about the culture. What does the culture allow? The culture has obviously allowed stealing signs. We know, we see how the teams react to that. When there's a runner on second base, the catcher changes up the sequence of signs. If the catcher has to go talk to the pitcher, what do? They put their gloves in front of their mouths so no one can lip read what they're saying to each other because they know someone's looking to do that. So I guess, as far as baseball is concerned, that level of trying to gain an advantage is okay. The level at which they seem to have drawn a line, and we'll see what the commissioner does in this case, is you can do all of that, but don't use any electronics to help you do that. And I'm with you. I don't really even understand the sequence of events. The Apple Watch detects something which is then translated by smartphone to this player who signals that player who has looked in to see what the how can they do all that in a matter of seconds? But at any rate, it's what's the culture going to allow?
Mm-hmm. And if you change the culture, it'll have an impact, but it's a choice. Like the original world of professional sports didn't have all these logos and all this commercialism and all these integration of brands and all this other stuff. And when they first started to do it, people thought it was offensive, but they changed the culture. Now we don't even think of it. If the commissioner allows it, then you will have a culture where people are coming up with all sorts of interesting electronic ways to try to get into it. I personally think he's going to shut it down. He was talking to TMZ, not the most credible news operation, and he was just kind of getting them away. I think he's got to shut this down in some way, shape, or form. Now, I would doubt he's going to enter the fray of changing the pennant race by taking away games. That's my guess. But if he doesn't do something, it's mismanagement.
Well, certainly the pennant race plays into it. I mean, if the Red Sox were in last place instead of in first place, it would make a difference. But they are in first place. And one American League executive anonymously told one of the New York writers, if they, meaning Major League Baseball, if they don't do something, the whole thing's a joke. It's a joke. It's a miscarriage of justice, whatever you want to call it. So it's not just the Yankees.
No, they are at a crossroads because what they allow, all the other teams will respond to. And it's just like if one team in football starts to hit particularly hard and in a new way and the refs don't come down on it, everybody's going to notch it up. And you have to regulate your sport that way. The question is going to be, you know, how hard and edged do they take games away, and what becomes the process for policing this thing in the future?
So I'd like to zoom out a little bit from baseball, from the Red Sox, to sports in general. You teach the class sports ethics. I'm interested to know, students, 18, 19, 20 years old, what do they see in sports as acceptable versus not acceptable, generally speaking?
What's interesting from my perspective is that performance-enhancing drugs almost without question gets a negative response. A lot of stuff, amateur versus professional, all those kind of blurring parts of the game where you might do something that's a bit over the line, they're pretty flexible ethically on that stuff. The one thing, performance-enhancing drugs, people who cheat that way get pretty much universal negatives.
Something that we see among people of our age, and I'm curious as to how students view this, is it's not so much the crime as it is lying about the crime. The Red Sox almost immediately admitted, yes, we've done this. Is that going to cause people to be more forgiving of the Red Sox?
Potentially. I think when you've denied it and denied it and denied it, and then they come up with a piece of video that shows you were lying, it's a little less sympathetic. On the other hand, I think it also speaks to, you know, if a team deliberately does something to test the edge and they get caught and they go, yeah, okay, there's a certain integrity to that. I mean, if you're, you know, you can say it's ethical or unethical, but I view it more as testing the edge. And if the edge is unregulated, then you go there. And in a competitive framework, you take it out of this sort of world of ethics and all that. You're just looking for advantages. And nothing, in a well-regulated system, there's nothing wrong with that.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, John Sweeney. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.